Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to the book of Titus, Titus chapter 3. And as you're turning there, let me ask you a question. What type of citizen would you say that you are? You know, we live in a land where we're blessed with immense blessings. We have so much that our country has, we're blessed with by, first of all, living in this land. But what would you say your responsibility is in the land that we have been so blessed by? Well, if you looked at some and talked to some, one of the requirements of living in this land would be to talk about it. You know, we live in a land, and it seems like one of the things on the agenda of so many is to talk about the land that you live in, to talk about how bad it is and how things aren't going right. I never will forget someone sharing this some years ago. He did it in sort of a joke form, but I never have forgotten. He said, you know, when you think about what some people talk about, he said, when it comes to going to heaven, they won't have much to say. Because they won't be talking about how it was in the good old days. They won't be complaining about the weather. And they won't be running the government down. Well, the reality about it is we live in a land where a lot of folks do that. And yet God gives us some very sobering and serious words how you and I are to be as Christian citizens. And so if you'll take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, I want you to look at. Paul is giving Timothy or Titus some instruction, some counsel, some direction. And as he speaks to him, he's reminding them how he ought to respond and ought to relate to those others and what he ought to tell Christians, how Christians ought to respond. And you say, well, you know, now, Pastor, we're not like it. It's not like it was back in the Bible times. When, you know, people did what they ought to do and the governments were good. Well, you need to understand a little bit about history to understand about the Bible times. Under Paul, there was a ruler at one particular point of his life. His name was Nero. He was the emperor of Rome. And Nero, one of the things that he did to Christians would be this. He would impale them, torch them, set them on fire so they could line his gardens at night so he could see his beautiful, lush gardens. Christians impaled on poles were set throughout his garden. And you say, well, how in the world can we do that and live in this land? And I want you to listen carefully to what Scripture says to you and me, because these are two sobering words that we need to listen to in this day and time. Now, we may not live in a time where Christians are impaled. Some Christians are killed. Some Christians are martyred. Some are put to death. But the reality of it is that if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, there are some directives He gives you and me as Christians. There are some guidelines He gives us so we can live and walk and in this world that we're put in. So I want you to listen carefully to Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Put them in mind. Now this is God speaking through Paul. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness to all men. Paul goes on to say in verse 3 and following, he said, you need to be reminded that that's all of us were disobedient at one time. All of us were without Christ at one time. But what Paul is saying to the saints of God, he's saying, I want you to remember how you're to act while you're on planet Earth. And the truth about it is we need to be reoriented and we need to be reminded from time to time how we are to live, walk, and behave in this land that we've been blessed to live in. Think about it for a moment. How many of you, no matter how bad things get, how many of you would trade your citizenship to live in some other land, to say live in Russia, to live in Germany, to live in some European country, or to live in some African land, to live in some African country? I'm not saying anything negative about those places, but you and I are a blessed people. Would you not say that? Amen? We are blessed to live in this land. We're blessed to be where we are. And I know that I'm biased. I know that everybody didn't originate in Kentucky. But we live in some of the most beautiful area in all the world. As a matter of fact, you can find water everywhere, especially on a day like today. But we live in a precious, precious land. And Paul is reminding the saints of God He's reminding them how they're to live and how they're to work and how they're to walk. And listen, the same directive is to you and to me in the world that you and I live in. And first of all, whenever Paul is talking to Timothy, or to Titus rather, he said, I want to remind you, Titus, that one of the responsibilities of every Christian is to obey the laws of the nation you're in. Now, first of all, some of you are going to say, now, wait just a minute. I know they're ungodly laws. I'll get to that in just a second. But when Paul is writing Timothy, listen, he made it very clear. And the thing about it is we live in a land that God has given us. We live in a land where we're blessed to be called the land of the free, the home of the brave. And Paul makes it very clear, under the direction of God, said there are laws that you and I are to obey. Now, there are sometimes somebody comes along, well, I just don't like this law or I don't like that law, so I'm going to just throw those out. Well, first of all, if there was no laws, can you imagine what lawlessness would abound? You know, you may say, well, I just don't like laws, but I guarantee you, you don't want somebody to take advantage of you, do you? You don't want somebody to get your stuff. You don't want somebody to steal. Listen, if there were no laws, you wouldn't have any property because you wouldn't have any possessions to have property. I mean, everybody would be getting everybody else's stuff. And so one of the reasons that God gives you and me laws, first of all, to curb lawlessness. Now, granted, there's all sorts of lawlessness in this land, and there always will be. But those who are God-fearing men and women of God, listen, we don't march to the drumbeat of this world. You don't march to the drumbeat of what's going on in this world. Listen, don't you look forward to that city whose builder and maker is holy God? Amen? I look forward to that. I look forward to that country. And Paul said, Titus, put every one of them in remembrance. Remind them that the land they live in, remind them that there is a higher power that is watching our actions. And you see, that's a sobering reality. You're not just living under yourself. And some people think, well, you know, it's my life and I can do with it what I want to. No, it's not your life. You can't do with your life what you want to. Well, yes, I can. Okay, then you want God to take away the salvation he's given you? Listen, if you're a child of God, the Bible says you are bought. B-O-U-G-H-T with a price. I don't mind being his slave because I know what type of master he is. He don't give the chintzy stuff and that quick stuff of life. He gives the good things. But Paul said, I want to remind you, and think about it for a moment. We wouldn't be safe if we didn't have laws. We wouldn't be safe walking the street. We wouldn't be safe. Everybody would not only have to carry a six-shooter, you'd have to carry a whole bunch of six-shooters. You know, you'd have to carry some type of weaponry all around like they did in the Wild West. Matter of fact, some people are reverting back to that. And know some people who've got guns behind every wheel. Well, maybe not behind every wheel, but almost behind every wheel. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, we live in a land where God has given the laws. And you stop and think about it, you know, there'd be abuses and attacks of all type if we didn't have laws in our land. No, anybody could do whatever they wanted to you, and you'd be fair game. They could take whatever you had, you'd be all right. And if there's anybody that ought to say, you know what, I uphold the laws that God has placed in this world, I believe in it because, listen, the Bible makes it very clear that communities are established by God, societies are established by God, and nations are established by God. And you see, sometimes, and you hear people talk about, well, you know, I just don't know about the laws, about taxes and all this. I don't know about you, but I like traveling on paved roads, don't you? I like places that you can stop, rest areas you can stop. And my wife would have really said this morning, I'd love to travel on a paved road because we went through a flooded road and she didn't know if she was going to get through. But, you know, think about the things that you and I have simply because, you know, is there abuse of taxes? Absolutely. Are there people that are abusing the taxes that you and I pay? Yes. But listen to me very carefully. Do you think there's going to be one single soul who's ever going to get by holy God? Do you think one person is going to catch God off the side and going to get by God? And you see, that's exactly what Paul was reminding Titus. You know, there wouldn't be any single paved road if we didn't have some type of taxation. We wouldn't have, the medical systems and the hospitals. And you know, sometimes it does get extreme. And yes, there is that extreme when it comes to taxation. And there is a point of stopping because, listen, you know, if people used money wisely and right and honestly, well, that's a story for another day. But here's the reality. Paul told Titus, he said, I want to remind you to tell those who are under your care, under your loving, he said, they are to listen to those who are over them. And you think about it a moment. You know, if we didn't have laws, if we didn't have, you know, laws regarding taxes and all of that, be no military, no police, no civil protection, you know, and we'd be a wild society. And that's exactly what God has never ordered chaos. I look at some of the things happening in Egypt and happening in Syria and some of the things happening across their land. And as I see those things, and I don't mean it arrogantly, but I mean it very humbly, I thank God that I live in the United States of America. Listen, we're not what we ought to be, and there's always room for improvement. But listen, do you know where obedience to the laws of God begin? Among the people of holy God. It begins with the children, the men and the women who name the name of Christ. And you see, the ultimate reason that say, well, you know, there's just some laws that I don't agree with. And what do you do about that? Well, I'll get to that in just a second. Hold on. But here's the reality. You know, the ultimate reason we're to obey the laws of our land is because, number one, we have a directive from holy God. Well, but on second hand, there are sometimes God doesn't really mean what he says, does he? No. Absolutely not. But you know what we do? We act that way. We say, well, you know what? This one over here, I don't like that, so I'm just going to toss it out. I'm going to toss that one out. There is never a time in the Word of God that he doesn't mean what he says. And that's why so many Christians are living an unblessed life. That's why so many born-again believers are walking an unblessed life, because first of all, they don't take seriously the privilege of living in this land. Listen, only God in heaven knows how many people cheat on their income taxes. And if you cheat on your income taxes, I pray the Spirit of God convict you. Because how do you support a land? You know what? We want policemen to come when we call them, don't we? We want policemen like Kenny Prophet to come. We want people to show up when we're in need. But you know what happens? We say, well, you know, I just don't know about this. And we'd be amazed at all the underhanded stuff that goes on. But here's what Paul said, under the directive of holy God. Remind them, as I stand as a servant of the holy God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm reminding every one of you this morning, it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to honor those who are ahead of you, to honor those who have the charge over you. Now you say, Pastor, I don't agree with some of the things. Neither do I. But listen, we're given a directive from holy God. He means what he says. And he gives us guidance so we can take those actions when someone is violating the Word of God. This ought to be the compass for running this land. Amen? This ought to be the compass of how you pick your political officials, how we pick those who have the charge. You say, well, not everyone is a born-again believer. I recognize that, but I remember the time when I was a boy. A lot of men weren't named Christians, but they had a reverence for God. They had a reverence for the people of God. They had a reverence for God's house because they were men, they may not have been saved, but they revered holy God. And you see, here's the reality. When you and I live and walk in obedience, you know what we do? First of all, we're obeying our God. Second, we're drawing a watching world to look at our lives. You know, sometimes you'll hear some things and just some things just sort of bombard you, just sort of hit you hard. I was watching a television show the other day, and one of Charlotte and my favorite shows is The People's Court. I don't know if you ever watched that, but that's one of our favorite shows. We like to sit down and we like to watch the judge as she presides. She's an excellent judge. She's a compassionate judge. But this is what I heard her say the other day, and another person that was plaintiff and the litigant and the defendant. But here's what she said to the defendant, because she named the name in Christ. She said, as unimpressed as I am at your Christianity. And that's all I heard. Because let me ask you a question. Are other people impressed or unimpressed at your Christianity? Do all they hear us talking about is the people of God, the government? Do all they hear us talking about is running the government down? Listen, you have a command from Holy God. Your command is to pray for those who have the charge over you. Does that mean you have to agree with them? No. Does that mean you have to endorse and embrace everything they stand for? Absolutely not. But that means that you are to pray for them, because only Christians are heard by the Father when it comes to prayer, unless the person is praying the prayer of salvation. Because he makes it very clear, the prayers of righteous people availeth much. And you see, the reality of it is, when there are leaders that violate the Word of God, violate the truth of God, somebody will say, well, what do we do when we have leaders who violate the truth of God and endorse and embrace things that are against God and against God's Word? Here's the real simple answer. We obey God. You know what Peter said? Listen, it's not real hard. Peter said at one time, who ought we to obey? Should we obey God or should we obey man? When you have a political leader, when you have a leader of any type, go against the principles of the Word of God that violates the Word of God, then you have an obligation to remove that person from office. Why? Because this is how societies are founded. This is how countries are founded. Listen, when the pilgrims came early in the 1600s, they didn't come. They were not unintelligent, illiterate. They were very intelligent, and they knew that no government is formed apart from being founded on the very nature and on the very person of the Lord God. Did you know that Harvard, back in the 1600s, one of the greatest preachers that ever preached in that day and time, Jonathan Edwards, he preached probably one of the greatest messages, was the first president of Harvard University. You go back and look at some of the documentation from Harvard. It's amazing to look at how they were founded on the principles of Scripture, principles of Holy God. And you see, the thing about it is, you know what's happened to us, though? We have gotten so disoriented and gotten so sidetracked from the compass of life. Let me ask you a question. What do you have if you don't go by this? What do you have? You have anarchy, you have chaos, you have devastation, you have crisis, you have all sorts of things. Why? Because here's what God says. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And you see, what Paul said to Titus is said this. You're to be the flavoring of your society. You're to be the flavoring. Now you say, well, I don't agree. Well, you can do it in love. You say, well, how do you do it in love? Well, just hold on. We'll get there. But listen to what he made it very clear. And you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, but here's what you need to understand. It's God that all men give an account to. Sometimes, you know, we say, leaders just get off scot-free. It's amazing what we say, isn't it? Well, but do you realize that God's word will never be violated? It is appointed unto every man, say it with me, once to die, and after that, the judgment. Every president, every emperor, every king, every magistrate, every principality, every power, every governor, every mayor, every councilman, every councilwoman, every Christian, everyone will give an account to God. You don't think that God has His way in all things? You just go back and read Exodus. Pharaoh thought, well, I can do whatever I want to the children of Israel, and I'm in control here. God made it very clear, you're not in control of my people. You're not in control. I have my way. I love what Nahum says. God has His way in the whirlwind. And the reality about it is this. God wants you and me to live a life of obedience before Him, because that's right. You know, think about it for a moment. In the world Jesus lived, did He talk about the government? Did He run the government down? Did the Apostle Paul run the government down? No. And you see, the thing about it is somehow we have this idea that we can't be Christians without running the government down. You don't have to say a whole lot. Just stand your ground. Just say things like, I absolutely disagree with homosexual lifestyle. I absolutely disagree with a lesbian lifestyle. I absolutely disagree with this land that we live in where it's all sorts of forms of adultery And that's as simple as it is. Case closed. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Stand, but stand in loving kindness. Now you say, Pastor, do you love those that are homosexual? Yes, I do. Do I love their lifestyle? Absolutely not. You say, how can you do that? God has a way of enabling you to stand, and you don't have to belittle and degrade them. But Scripture makes it very clear, unless they repent. Because Jesus himself said, they won't enter the kingdom of heaven. But you love them. You care for them. You pray that they come to faith in Christ. I never will forget listening to the testimony of a young man. This is why we need to be sensitive and loving. He said, I was a homosexual. And he said, I don't even want to go into that, what I used to do. But he said, I never had a loving dad. And he said, that may have been why I went the way I went. But he said, I had some people who loved me and prayed for me and cared for me. And he said, God forgave me. And I repented of my lifestyle. I love to hear that. Because it's not something you're born with, folks. It's not a lifestyle that you're born with. He said, I repented. And what I love to hear after that, he said, God rescued me out of that, gave me a wife, and I have two precious little children. That's the glory of God. But listen, how do you bear witness if you dislike and you say, well, I don't talk about you. Listen, Jesus said, be ye kind, tenderhearted to one another. Love one another. Forgive one another. That's the command of God. And the reality about it is what do you do with all that? Listen, he has a way of showing us, and he showed us by example. You see, the woman that was caught in adultery in the very act, that was similar to homosexuality in our day and time. What did Jesus do? Everybody was getting ready to get some stones and pick them up and throw them at her. And Jesus just simply said, those of you that are without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. You see, here's the reality about every one of us. All of us are in need of the grace of God. Amen? You don't go to God because you're a certain type of person or because you have a certain lineage, because you have... Listen, all of us need the grace of God. And we're to show the world we live in. Show them the grace of God. Show them the kindness of God. You say, what do you mean show them the grace of God? You ever given somebody something that, just... They didn't deserve it, but you just gave it to them anyway? Maybe out of loving kindness? Now, don't have the Opie Taylor mentality. You know, Opie told his dad, he said, son, haven't you ever given somebody something just for the enjoyment? He said, yeah, I gave Tommy a sock in the nose. He said, no, son, just for the enjoyment. He said, it felt good, Dad. And sometimes that's our theology. Listen, love those who may persecute you. Jesus made it very clear. You're not to necessarily agree. We don't march to the drumbeat of this world. We are the redeemed of God. We are children of God. We have within us the person of the Holy Spirit, and that's why we don't act like the world acts. That's why you grace others, you care for others, you're considerate of others, even though they are totally, completely defiant of how you stand. Because you've been graced by God. I stop and think sometimes, Lord, if it wasn't for you, I'd be bound for hell. I'm not saved because I preach. I got saved and then the Lord called me to preach a lot later. But Paul made it very clear. That's how we're to live. Second of all, we're to work in our appointed area. You know, I love what Paul said to Titus. He said, and he reminded them, that they had an obligation before God to work. I want to say this to everyone under the sound of I'm reminding you before Holy God, you have an obligation to work. And I love it because some of you embrace work. You work hard every day of your life. But you know what? One of the things that you do in work, you're honoring the God who saved you. You're honoring the Lord who redeemed you. There are so many people who want to get something for nothing and get as much as they can for nothing. And Paul was telling the saints of God, you know, your work and your, listen, not only just helps you, it helps your family. When I was a boy growing up, I never will forget, Dad didn't make a whole lot of money like many my generation knew very well of. Dad raised three gardens, one right behind the house, one down the road, and one about 20-some miles away on the farm. He had to because there was five of us kids. And I never thought about it. I'd go to the lunch table, and there it was. I'd go to the supper table, and there it was. And, you know, it wouldn't be steak. It wouldn't be filet mignon. I didn't know what that was. I can remember smelling my first pizza. It was a Chef Boyardee pizza, and boy, did it smell interesting. I thought, what in the world is... Because we just had the old grub. You know what I'm talking about. We had soup, beans, and potatoes, and every once in a while, Dad would slaughter a cow, and we'd have cube steak. But listen, it is godly to work. It's godly to get up in the morning and to go to work. Listen, when you get up in the morning and you get ready and you go to your office or you go to your place of business, you are doing something that is ordered by Holy God, and He'll honor your life by that. You know what will happen? Your kids will see you. They'll have an integrity to work. Sadly, some kids are not seeing parents work, and that's why their parents are teaching them to live off of society, get as much as you can. Listen, we don't march to that drumbeat as the people of God. The people of God as a whole, we are to work. We're to be involved in work every day of our life. You know, not only in working on the job, but working in our community. I don't know if you stop and think about it, but the work we do in our community, even last Sunday night, you say, well, that was fun. Talk to the cleanup crew. That was work. Talk to those who fixed and all that. But what do? We tried to minister to our community, try to be a blessing to our community. And Paul reminded them, said, you're to be a blessing to your community. Think about it a minute. Those early forefathers who came to this land because there was tyranny and there was taxation and there was no freedom, they wanted a community better than what they had. And God honored their life and blessed their life and brought them here. And they're some of the most intelligent people. When you read some of their writings, it's amazing to see how educated they were. You see, the reality about it is, Christians need to work. I never will forget Mother. When I was just a boy, I couldn't understand it then, but there'd be two ladies who were blind. And she'd go down and visit them. And I thought as a little boy, you know, you think as whatever your age, I thought that's got to be the most boring thing in the world, to visit with them. And then she'd write letters for them. They couldn't write letters. They, you know, so she would dictate letters for them. And she would do things like that because that was being useful in her community. Now listen carefully. You have a responsibility before God in this community. You say, I do? Yes, you do. Where are those Christians who visit nursing homes anymore? Where are those Christians who visit hospitals? Where are those Christians who just visit somebody just to visit? You know, visiting somebody is dying away. But you know what? Sometimes as I visit, all they want is just you to listen. Let them talk to you for a while. Let them bend your ear. Are you going to change the world? Are they going to change the world? No. But you know what? You'll be a better person by being involved in their life. Some of you visited one of ours who's gone on to be with the Lord, Miss Willis. She could take 2 minutes out of your life and you'd feel like you could conquer the world. Where are Christians who do that? Paul said, that's part of our work, to work in the community. You know, there's no such thing as a light job before God. Amen? You say, well, I don't have much of a job. You just wait. My job's not that big. I'm just a, and it bothers me sometimes when somebody said, I'm just a, because every position is significant before Holy God. You know, sometimes we discredit, but God honors those who live a life of integrity, walk a life, and try to be what God wants them to be. And thirdly, not only are we to obey the laws, and not only are we to work in our appointed area, but probably most soberly, use our tongue to honor the Lord. Now let me ask you one simple question. What comes out of your mouth about your country? What comes out of your mouth about those in leadership? Now you say, Pastor, what about those things you don't stand for and you stand on the principles of God? And when time of election comes, God's given you a God-given right. We call it a vote. And that's why this land has been so blessed by God. He's given you God-given convictions. You know, we may want to rationalize away, well, now, you know, you just can't help it. Does God mean everything He says? Yes or no? That was about half of you. Does God mean everything He says? Yes or no? Look carefully at verse 2. Speak evil of no man. You see, here's the command. Benny Bush, you're to speak evil of no man. Now, if I find somebody violating God-given laws and principles when it comes my chance to vote, I'll vote. And I will line their life up, and I'll vote. And if they're and I see somebody else, and they're lining themselves up far better, then I'll cast my vote accordingly. And the reality about it is this. We're to stand on the truth of Scripture. We're the people of God. You say, well, what if I end up getting in trouble and I stand for God and I end up in prison? Well, just back up a minute. Prison has always been the reality for some who stand for God. Amen? Now, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but there are some of you who wouldn't stand when it got to that point because there's not depth enough of conviction to stand. And when persecution comes, you won't stand because you don't want to stand for something that's deep. Listen, Paul found himself in prison after prison after prison. Why? Because he lived under this directive. I must obey the living God. But you know what? What happens a lot of times? I think I'll do what I want to do. I think I'll operate the way I want to operate. I can't take that type of stand. Well, here's the only thing I can tell you. You've got to stand before Jesus yourself. You've got to stand before the Lord yourself, and you've got to give an answer unto Him yourself. And you see the reality about it is, you know, there's power in loving others. I don't know if you read carefully the life of Christ very much, but He never told them, you better get right. You better listen to me. You better do what I say. You know, we live in a land where that's pretty much the conversation. You better. We say that to our kids. You better. But you know what happened? They just saw Jesus obeying God. They saw Jesus doing what the Father said. And you know, some in his own household, James, who penned the book of James, his half-brother. He didn't come to faith in Jesus Christ until after the crucifixion because there was such a power of the love of the Lord Jesus. What happens when the world sees us loving them? You know what happens? Why do you have what you've got and I don't have what I've got? I mean, why don't I have what you've got in my life? You see, sometimes we don't want to say it, but we just say, well, that's the only way things stand, changes. You know, you just, develop some type of bandwagon approach. Well, there's only one problem with that. That's not Scripture. Here's the reality, though. There's power in loving others. Let me ask you this. Every one of you that are saved, when you realize that Jesus loved you just the way you are, didn't that do something to you? Didn't something happen inside your soul when you realize He loves me with all my warts and all my blemishes and all the junk in my life? He don't tell me to change my life. He tells me to trust Him and He'll do it. I don't know about you, but as I've walked this Christian life, it's been a wonderful journey and is a wonderful journey because here's what I know. I may have days that I bobble and things that I do, but here's what I know. I have a Jesus who loves me just the way I am. He's going to care for me just the way I am. And He's never going to say, Benny, if you don't straighten this up, straighten that up. There's power in love. There's power when you love others just the way they are. I don't know what the other lady thought when she approached me some years ago when she asked me this question. But I pray that she saw my love for her and my love for her daughter. When she asked me this question, Benny, is my daughter going to hell because she's a lesbian? And I gave her an answer in Part of my answer I'll keep private between her and myself. But I hope she saw my answer was a love for her and a love for her daughter. Here's what the command of the Father is. You and I are to obey the laws of the land that He's given us. You and I are to work in our appointed area. You and I are to be obedient. We're to be faithful until the day Lord calls us home. And we're to use our tongue to honor Him. Now, let me ask you a question. How can you ever honor God with your tongue by putting somebody down? My mom, bless her heart, she put up with a lot, like all of mothers do. But you know what? I never remember the day her saying me, "I love you if, I love you when." And you know what? There's power when you unconditionally love somebody. Because here's what you may find happen to your life. Somebody's coming to your life. They may be in another type of lifestyle. They may be in a homosexual lifestyle or a lesbian lifestyle. But they are also a person created by God. Amen? And they look at you and they say, "How can I be right and have what you've got? How can I know?" You say, "Well, you're supposed to give them a big speech." No. You're supposed to, first of all, love the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do you like to ball yourself out? Do you like to emotionally give yourself a what for? You know what? These are challenging days for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because here's the reality. Our call is to stand for Him, to love Him, to obey Him, and to grace a watching world with the love of the Lord Jesus. They may misunderstand you, but here's the reality. God knows your heart. And here's the end of it. Paul bore witness to so many, and he led so many to faith in Christ out of ungodly lifestyles. Isn't that what we're to be about as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Leading people to someone who died on the cross for their sins, paid for their sins, just like He paid for our sins. And listen very carefully. He paid for all sins. Homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, idolatry, every sin has been paid for at the cross. Amen? And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what type of life are you living? What's your lips saying? What are you doing? Are you gracing others? Or are you giving people that are opposed to you? Maybe they're opposed politically. You're giving them what for? Now, yes, you stand. And when it comes time to vote, this is the governing guide. As God puts kings in office, God removes kings out of office. And we can be His people in every society. But it first comes to remember His directive. Father, thank You so much for the truth of Your Word. Thank You so much for speaking to us through Your Word. And Father, we just prayed this morning, Lord, that You would remind us afresh that we as the people of God are to remember. We as the people of God are never to forget. We're to remember those who have the charge over us. And Father, I do pray for our leaders, pray for our president, for our vice president, for Senate, for the House of Representatives, for those who have the charge over us in the state of Kentucky, Father, for our governor, and Father, for all that are in this land. But Lord, You remind us to always use Your Word as the moral compass for this land, because Your Word never fails. Your Word never falters. Father, draw that person to you this morning who needs a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Draw that person to you who maybe they just need to come and repent and all the other things need to be left alone because that's between you and them. That person who needs to join this fellowship, have your will and your way, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.